This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk to you this morning on the text, the title, Leaving Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11, and we begin reading in verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. I want to talk to you this morning about leaving Egypt. And many years ago, I left Mississippi. I had no idea when I left that one day I would stand in this pulpit in the fellowship of a great church. I had no idea that God would let me be many years. I was a school teacher and a coach. Had a lot of different experiences. I maybe if I was a good preacher, Mike, I could have made a living preaching. But I was I was pastoring, a coach, and all at the same time, teacher. I never dreamed that, I had no idea that I'd have 3 great kids and 7 wonderful grandchildren whom I adore. If you are a grandparent, I know you feel the same way. I had no idea that God would let me serve as a military chaplain for many years. I wore the uniform for 34 years and 28 years as a chaplain. Never had any idea that I would go to Germany or Peace Station in Kansas or Fort Bragg, West Point, New York, any of those great places, but all of them great places. I had no idea that God had, when he called me, that he would let these hands baptize hundreds of people across the years, a lot of soldiers. We baptized 89 soldiers, Steve, when I went to Desert Storm years ago. But I had no idea what God would do. I had no idea that God would let me preach today. A lot of people listen on the radio. I don't know how many. I'd like to know, Ben, kind of how many listen on the radio or the television, but I know that I never had any idea. Last week, I went to see my brother in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he's in the hospital still there today, and I appreciate your prayers for him. But one day, when I was there on Monday, I had lunch with a guy by the name of, well, actually, we ate the same cafeteria. I did speak to him. And his name is Jimmy Swaggart. Anybody ever heard of Jimmy Swaggart? But anyway, but I never had any idea that I too would preach on the radio and the television one day. I had no idea what God would do. But God called me. God had a unique call on my life. Everybody's got their story. And God has a unique call on your life, whoever you are. God had a unique call on the life of a man named Moses. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, that when his parents saw him, they knew, Brother Pete, that this was no ordinary child. I want to tell you, I see Matt Rogers up this morning. Matt, you've got about 1,600 kids, and I know that every parent that comes to, as part of the Enterprise school system, Enterprise High School, they all feel like, hey, that my child is no ordinary child. Don't you feel that way? How many of you are teachers here this morning? And I guarantee you that every parent feels that way. My child is no ordinary child. But they could see right soon, Risa, that this was a man, this was a little child. The little baby they held in their arms was a baby that was very special. The hand of God was upon him. You know that one of the things we do here in our church, very important to the ministry and life of this church is, and all of you have been here when I've dedicated babies right down front. Have the parents come right down front, and I'll read some scripture and ask them 3 or 4 questions. And I have them to stand up in front of everybody, and I try to hold the baby if I can. I can't hold all of them, you know. Some of them are crying, some are wiggling, but I can't hold all of them. But I do try to touch the baby, always touch the baby and pray for the baby. But as much as that baby, I pray for the parents that God has put in that, given that unique, special responsibility to raise a child for the Lord. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11 that this was a special child. He was no ordinary child. And the Bible says by faith his parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And the Bible says in verse 24 that he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. Now, how does this all apply to you and me today? The story of Moses. And everybody writes it. Everybody has a story, Jake. But how does it apply to you and me? Some things in five issues that I believe in, principles that are set down in the Word of God. Five principles. If you're going to stay on the right track spiritually, here's what you need to do. You need to settle five things. The five issues that everybody in this house will have to settle. Number one is, who do I belong to? Who you belong to? And I want to say that Moses settled that issue. The Bible says that he grew up in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house. He was son of the Pharaoh's daughter, known as the Pharaoh, as his grandson. Moses had everything growing up. What do you think he had? He had just about anything he wanted. He lived in the palace. He probably had every computer they had in that day. Probably had every Wii and G and BlackBerry and Strawberry and everything. Had every kind of thing they had. Everything they made. And probably he had the best chariot. Had the fastest horses. He had it made. He was set for life. Until one day he was confronted by a holy and a righteous God. And the Bible says on that day that Moses refused. He refused. A man had everything he'd dream of. A life like none of us could even dream of. He refused to become known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And rather chose to suffer with the people of God. Because he belonged to somebody. Now that's the question you've got to deal with. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? The Bible says that you're either for the Lord, you're either for God, or you against Him. And I like Joshua 24, Mike, and it says, Joshua one day, he says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. But everybody got to choose. And then Joshua went on to say, but as for me and my house, coach, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Everybody got to choose. You got to choose. Who it is you belong to. You got to settle that issue. You've got to settle that. Everybody's got to settle that. Who do you belong to? Last Sunday, we did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag here last Sunday. And I'll tell you something else I've done through the years. I have, George, you've done this with soldiers. I've stood, and Brother Henry, and I put up my right hand, and I say, repeat after me. I have re-enlisted many soldiers. And what they say, and I took this pledge, this oath, in 1963 the first time. A few years after you did, Brother Henry. A few years after you. But I held up my right arm and I said, my hand, and I said, I swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You've done that, Jim. We've all done that. All you young soldiers, you, Abed, we've all done that. And last Sunday, we gave our Pledge of Allegiance to that flag right over there. Our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I want to tell you something. Because of that, because I'm an American citizen, I get to vote. And this is a pretty big election coming up. Every election is important. We need to, but I want to tell you that whether I vote or I don't vote, Jess, don't mean I lose my citizenship, does it? Doesn't mean that at all. But I tell you, in the kingdom of God, you have to vote. The Bible teaches that you have to vote. You've got to make a stand. And what we need today is people to make a stand for the Lord. And I tell you, sometimes it amazes me. People have time for everything else in the world. They have time for everything. Everything. But when it comes to the Word of God and the house of God and the people of God, they're too busy. And then when it comes to sharing your witness, I know people that get lockjaw. Talk about everything else. But when it comes to talking about the things of God, they get spiritual lockjaw. And somebody said, silence is golden, but sometimes silence is just plain yellow. Now I want to tell you something. You've got to decide. Everybody's got to decide. You've got to settle that issue in your life. You're not going to move any further until you decide who you belong to. Who do you belong to? And we ought to be like old Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We need some mamas and daddies to say, as for me and my house. We need some young people to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I know who I belong to. We have 1,473 members. I called Tracy one day this week and I said, how many resident members do we have? She said, 1,473. And sometimes I meet them on the street and I want to ask some of my members, I want to ask them, who do you belong to? And I'll ask you today, who do you belong to? You got to settle that issue. Ben's podcast this week on Friday, I believe it was, talking about the books that he recommended reading. Great one, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. John Bunyan in the 1600s, late 1600s, early 1700s, I don't know exact date, but he spent 12 years in the Bedford jail. And they let him out of jail. He could have walked out a free man any day. But they said the only condition is you cannot preach as you have preached the Word of God. And he spent 12 years in that jail. He said the worst thing was he had a wife and four little kids at home. One of them was a little 10-year-old blind girl. And John Bunyan said it was like they pulling flesh from my body. But 12 years he sat in that jail. Let me ask you something, Mr. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? We could just stop right there and go home. Who do you belong to? But that's the issue you must settle. Who do you belong to? Moses settled that issue and he said he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He knew who he belonged to. Number two. Second point I want to make is, the second issue that you must settle is this, and that is what he needed to overcome. The Bible says over in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. You know what the issue is, Les? The issue was a little three-letter word, sin. That's what the issue was. What was it he had to overcome? The issue was sin. And that is the issue in your life, in my life. What is it in my life that God don't want in my life? What is it in my life? Is there sin against God? Something I need to give up. Something I need to cut out. Something I need to turn my back on. We had one of our members come talk to me in recent days. Came to counsel with me. And he's committed a grievous sin. But he repented. And God forgave him of that sin. I believe that. And by the way, you can hear him next Sunday night because I've asked him to speak and to preach right here. He messed up, but I tell you, God abundantly, marvelously pardoned him. And I believe he's a free man. He's experienced, Phyllis, the grace of God. And by the way, the grace of God is something that God did back there in the years long before time began. God, he knew we were all going to mess up, all going to sin. And so there's a principle, that there's a provision, and that provision is the grace of God. But I want to tell you, in order to really use that grace of God, in order to really receive it, you got to deal with your sin. And so the question is, what are the sins, things in my life that I ought to change, things that I ought to cut out, things that I ought to give up? Bible says he refused the pleasures of sin for a short time. And so I want to ask the second thing. What did I tell you the first thing was you got to settle? Come on, say it with me. Who you belong to? And the second thing that the issue you got to settle is what you need to overcome, and that's sin. Kind of like Isaiah 6. When he went into the temple, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, woe is me, I'm a sinner. Then he saw others. He saw the world. He was repentant. And that's the way we must all come. Things that he had to overcome. The third point I want to make is what he believed. That's the third issue in Moses' life. He had to decide what he believed. And really, Hebrews 11 is a great study in theology about God. And Moses had to come settle that issue, what I really believe. That is an issue that you have to settle. You need to settle. And I think that's why the study of the Word is so important. The Bible says we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's why Dr. Joe's Sunday School is so important, to study the Word. That's why Vacation Bible School this week is so important. That's why what Brother Mike and Sharon do with our young people, our youth, that's so important that they learn that. And I tell you, less and less we find pastors and teachers that are willing, and adults that are willing to pour their hearts, that pour their lives and passionately give to young people to pour into their heart the deep truths about God. And I tell you something, if you want to live a weak lifestyle, you just have a weak theology. Just say it don't matter what you believe. Just let people believe what they want to believe. And that's the wrong thing. But we need, my heart cry would be for people that have a real passion to teach God's Word and pour that into our young people. That's why Bible school is so important. Fourth thing I want to say, number one was what? Who he belonged to. Number two, what he needed to get rid of. Number three is what he believed. Number four is this, and that's how long he was committed. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11 and verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered. And that means he endured. That's a good Bible word. He endured. He stayed with it. And the Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I tell you, it's easy to get weary in the Lord's work sometimes, isn't it? Amen? Some of you ministers say amen. Sometimes it's easy to get weary in it. And sometimes it gets routine. But I want to tell you, the Bible says that we're not to grow weary, for in due season, one of my ladies told me that not long ago. Said, I want to give you a verse. Told me that. Skip said, I give you this verse, Galatians 6, 9. Be not weary in well doing. And that means keep going. That means keep on keeping on. And I want to say that we have some incredible people in this church, some great people. We have some great prayer warriors in this church. I know that because I pray with some of them. Great prayer warriors. We have some ladies who have prayed at the bedside more times than we know about. We have some widow ladies who every time there's a loss or a death in our church, those ladies, these Sunday school classes, most of them, many of them widows, they cook and feed and encourage people that are hurting. We have people that teach in our Sunday school and have taught for years, Sunday school. We've got RA and GA leaders. We've got Vacation Bible School workers. We have Missions Committee, WMU. We have people who have been on every committee in the church. We have people that write checks. We have ushers that hand out bulletins at the door. We have one over here, Mike helps me up there with the baptism every week. We have people that stand at the back doors and pass out bulletins and smile at people and shake hands and tell people they love them. That's all important. And so how does this apply to you? Well, it applies to you by saying that you need to endure. You just keep on doing what you're doing. And for some of you, it may mean, Lord, I just want to renew my commitment to you. I just need to renew my commitment to you. Sometimes it's good to do that, isn't it? Sometimes I tell Celia that, you know. I renew that commitment. I say, babe, I love you. I love you and thank God for putting you into my life. I renew that commitment. And we all need to do that. Y'all heard about the old boy that he told his wife they'd been married 25 years and he never did tell her that he loved her. And she one day told him, said that was just having a problem with that. He said, I told you that 25 years ago. And if I ever change my mind, I'll tell you that. But you know, sometimes our mates, they need to hear that though. They need to hear that. And we need to endure. And that means to stay with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Stay with it. So number one was the issues Moses had to settle. I want you to remember these when you go home. Probably the number one was what? Who do you belong to? Who you belong to? Moses settled that. One day, God called him to leave Egypt, and he settled it. He said, I'm willing to go. Number two was what? What do you need to overcome? Are there some sins in your life you need to overcome? You need to give them up to God. Number three was what? What you believe. How about your theology? What do you believe? Don't give yourself permission to say, it's all right, just believe anything. That leads to a weak life. Number four was what? Perseverance, endurance. That's right. Stay alive. How long was his commitment for? And here's number five. The fifth one is, what he needed to do. What did he needed to do? You know what it says? He left Egypt. Any questions? That's what he needed to do, leave Egypt. Now, I don't believe, Jake, it's God's will for everybody to leave their own, you know, leave their own backyard. If it was, you know, wouldn't be any backyards out there, I guess. I don't know. We can't all do that. God don't call us all to do that. But I tell you, God called me one day to leave and go across the hill to a little church, my first church. I was telling somebody yesterday, I started preaching when I was 19. I was called to be the pastor of a church, Andy, when I was 19. I want to ask you something. How many of y'all would like to have a 19-year-old pastor? Don't answer that question. I was 19. What do you think a 19-year-old knows? Don't answer that question, Brother Thad, please. 19 years old. I'm not belittling young people. I'm not at all. I mean that. Because I was sick. But I don't know why, Mindy, they wanted me. I don't know. I had a pretty wife. I think maybe that was it. I don't know what it was. But I tell you, for me to leave Egypt meant, Mike, they sent a cattle truck to move me. Big old long cattle truck. Like Mercer, you know, these cattle trucks out there. Big old long cattle truck. They could have moved me in a Volkswagen, just about a pickup truck. No more stuff than we had, just married. But for me, it meant moving out there and later on then to Germany and all over the army, whatever God had for me. I don't know what it means for you. I don't know what leaving Egypt might mean for you. But the Bible says, oh, Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people. He turns back on all of it. I don't know what it might mean for you. It might mean, I'd ask you this though. What is it in your life you were not willing to give up? What street is it you're not willing to cross to tell somebody about Jesus? I'll close with this. It's been a busy week. I've been to Baton Rouge. I spent two nights in the hospital with my brother. And then I went up Thursday night to be with a friend of mine who's closing a 38-year career in the Army. He was a commander of Huntsville Redstone Arsenal. And I prayed over him on Thursday night, on Friday. I was in a ceremony with six four-star generals. I don't think I've ever been with six at one time. But I was thinking about my military days. Tell you what the military did. And people ask me sometimes, say, what's your favorite assignment? Was West Point your favorite? What was your favorite? Probably my favorite was 82nd Airborne Division. I like to be around. Are you a paratrooper? Any paratroopers here today? Huh? See a few of them. Well, hey, look. I see one. I see you, Colonel. I see you back there. Well, let me just say, I'm scared to jump out of airplanes. Truth is, I'm scared of it. I'm scared of it. Anybody in their right mind would be. But here's the deal, Ben. I like being around crazy people. I like to be around those guys that walk with a swagger and all, you know. I like that stuff. I like it. But I want to say this. We did two things. I was stationed twice at 82nd. We did two things, Bill. Number one, we ran a lot. I had one of these knees out running. And number two, we jumped out of airplanes a lot. That's what we did. Now, I wasn't a young man when I went to 82nd the first time, and I was an older man when I went back the second time, Steve. And on Fridays, we had a commanding general who loved to run. He was a little, he weighed about 50 pounds less than I did, and he's light as a feather, and he could run all day. And on Friday, he would take the officers on a run. And you had to stay with him. He's a two-star general. And I had a hard time. I was about the oldest guy in there, and I was the oldest guy in all these offices. They looked like a bunch of stallions, you know, just out there in the morning, you know, just ready to run every day and could run all day. And I tell you, Jim, I had a hard time. But God put a man in that unit. His name was John Schopenstall. He was a provost marshal. Y'all know who the provost marshal is? He's like the sheriff. And John was a provost marshal. So what he'd do, he would get behind me on the run, man. Then John would sometimes, he loved to run hills, by the way. John said he loved hills because hills make you strong. And he could run a hill. But on Fridays, oftentimes, John would get behind me and he'd be running. We'd be running beside in the formation together, and he'd put his hand in my back, push me up a hill. He did it many times, many times. My feet, have any of you ever run to your feet that felt like lead, had lead in them? But old John, a kid, put his hand in my back, Ben. He would push me. He would not let me quit. You're not going to quit. You can't quit. You can make it. You can do it. We'll get you up there. We'll do it. You stay with us. Don't fall out. Don't fall out. Don't fall by the way. And he would put his hand in his back and push me right here. Truth is, John made a run out of me. I ran, this hard to believe, I ran a 13:50-something 2 miles. That's pretty good, isn't it? But so I was 50-something years old. That's even better for a 50-something year old. But old John trained me. He said, man, we'd run those hills. He could do it. I thought about it this week, Betsy. Here's the deal. 2 points I want to make about that. Number one, I could do it, and I always did it. Because, number one, John was with me. Right there with me. And then I think of another who said, greatest man that ever lived, said, I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the world. You can make it. Maybe some people here today think, man, I can't make it. I can't make it in my life. I got so much on me. You know, sad thing this week. And I've heard 3 people in Coffee County this week took their own life. If my information is right, 3 people. And maybe somebody here today said, Lord, I can't, my wagon, I got a full load. I can't make it up that hill. I want to just tell you this morning, Jesus said, I'm with you. You can make it. You can do it. I'm with you. And then I have one other thought, and that is this. You can climb the hill because Jesus climbed the greatest hill there ever was, wasn't he? He climbed the hill one day for me and for you. And he'll help you climb that hill. Maybe there's somebody here today that say, Lord, I want to settle these issues. You need to settle them. You're not going to move a step further in your life spiritually until you settle these 5 issues. Number one, who you belong to. And then number two, what is it I need to give up? Number three, what I believe. Will I stay with it? And what God wants me to do.